Perfect. Well, I know. Well, thank you all for coming. Look at you, wonderful people. Ah, now I see you too. Fantastic. So we're going to talk about LibreOffice technology in the browser. Probably you've seen it before. It looks like this. Although, it's now blue and green, depending on your spreadsheet or... I know, radical changes everywhere. But either way, you can collaboratively edit your open document files and so on beautifully in the browser, which hopefully you've tried, and on your mobile phone. Which is even better. And even in two modes, one where you can run offline with Calabra Online effectively running on the mobile phone, thanks to Skylar here, you know, look at that, maintaining it beautifully. And also Nicholas, actually, there's a good combination here, you know, helping Amphinis funding some of this work back in the day. Or you can run it as a web view, so you can collaboratively edit that online with other people, but it looks just the same. Ooh. I think it's complaining. I think there's a fan failure. That's right. I have a fan problem. What can you do? So lots and lots of good things there. And a whole load of recent features. I just talked about automatic documents. You noticed that maybe a few minutes ago, which is great. And Quillon just talked about autotext, so I won't talk much about that, but I think it's really cool that all those hospital administrators, instead of writing, you know, don't do that. You know, when I poke myself in the eye, it hurts. You know, what should I do? And there's a very nice paragraph. You know, you say don't, and you press F3, and it says, thank you for your report of you know, complaints and whatever. Please consider not poking yourself in the eye, and you know, so on, in a friendly way. And so we can then upload these and deploy them. Very useful in government for turning a small signal into a large noise. Which is good, and lots of other lovely things going on there with autotext and user dictionaries, so that you know you can get all of those annoying red underlines. This used to be the majority of our rendering time was drawing these red underlines. Luckily, we've optimized it, but even better to use the dictionary to make sure you don't get them for the common words. Pranam talked about commenting. I'm a big fan of this at commenting thing here, so you can you know mention someone's name and then you know they can actually comment back. Which is good. It's, you know, it's a shame chatting on your own. Actually, some of our stats show that most people collaborate on their own, which is interesting. I don't actually have the graph for that, but it's a very, very common use case. Our most common use case is nobody using the software, which sounds bad. It sounds like we're not doing something good, doesn't it? But actually, nobody is often thumbnailing a file for someone else. So that's a good thing. You get nice thumbnails. But anyway, so yes, this then will integrate with your integration, say Nextcloud, and they will then send you an email or something saying, hey, you should check this document out. It's awesome. You know, come and give a comment. And prettier comments, wider ones, so you can really write most of your document in the comments and abandon the main bit there. And then perhaps even print it out with the comment printing stuff from Quillon. So one of the really cool things is that the OSI, thank you, OSI, Open Source Institute, funded some beautiful things to allow commenting on complex documents. They have a lot of text they need commenting on, and so you can then have a comment-only permission for doc, ODT file, and you can even delete your own comments. But better than that, you can see some of this comment threading stuff there, maybe some of these nested replies here that you can see. So more of a conversational, more powerful commenting functionality. And also, embedding this then into WordPress so that you know you can upload a document to your website in some place very easily. You don't need you know to be a rocket scientist or something. You know, you can just attach this, click edit, bingo, inside your WordPress installation, then you can be collaboratively editing, commenting on documents, getting feedback from people and all of that good stuff. And it's even easy. You just install the plugin and bingo. There it's all happening. More fun than that, we have some Drupal integration. So if you like Drupal, another you know, wonderful content management system, Figure has added this beautiful functionality to view and edit and collaborate around that. And with great thanks to the Open Social team and Digit, the Director General of Digitization inside the European Commission. So some great stuff going on there to add you know, open source, open standards, collaborative commenting. Even more fun, another third thing, is XWiki. So there's a great desire for collaboration around documents, and there's a great misunderstanding of often what products are for. Obviously, XWiki is a great way of collaborating in wikis, you know, and it's a cool tool. But often people want to just take their existing document, dump it somewhere, and then collaborate. And so, we can do that beautifully inside XWiki as well. So, on the attachments. And then there's user experience. Obviously, we want to optimize our user experience for real users. So what do real users do? Well, that is a very interesting question. And Heike, where he is, somewhere, yeah, your user experience, is particularly fascinated by what people are doing. Now, of course, if you're a large American multinational, you can send all the data back to base, you know, and that's great. And then you can spy on the whole world at once. Maybe there's a cockpit somewhere with all of the data coming in of what everyone's doing. We don't do the telemetry bit. We just log it to a file on your system, and we anonymize all of the content. So it's you know, it's a series of commands you did, but not the text you typed in, not the images you pasted in, and so on. And so we can then get all of these sort of commands. So it's a bit of text input, some pasting, some this actually just deletes, either pulling in one way or backspacing the other way. And then, you know, footering about in your document. And then we can see over a few days what was going on, undo counts, how many users were editing documents. I mentioned that earlier, actually. It's a really interesting graph. So what you discover is zero is the norm, thumbnailing, followed by one person, you know. And actually, it's really useful to know where the document is. So instead of it having it in 10 different emails and whatever, actually it is at one place in your you know, in your browser, and that's where you go and edit it. And then 2, 3, whatever, it falls down, and there's a big spike at about 30, which is children in classrooms. So, you know, we optimize for the zero case, the one case, the two case, and the 30 case. So hopefully there's some commonality there. Good news is it works for all of them. We're also tracking typing rates. So it's nice to know how fast people can actually type. Well, I know they claim to type very fast, but actually, in reality, it's quite slow, unless they're mashing the keyboard here to test, as it were. You can get a very high rate with that, I think we discussed before, about 10 times faster than average. So some really interesting metrics there. Thanks, Attila, for doing that. And I think Elliot, we had an intern doing some crunching. Styles. So lots of people love styles, and so they should, but Calibre Online has been weak until recently. And now we've added this beautiful style list, and so you can see all your paragraph and character and all of the different wonderful styles. If you've never seen the style spotlight feature, you should. There's a pretty button you can check here, like that. And then suddenly, you like the visual effect, you know, I'll unclick it. Ah, there you go. And then it'll show you in the document where all the styles are. So you can look at this 8 and go, ah, this is style in that list, and work out why it doesn't look like you like, and simplify it and make it more and more beautiful, which is great. Most recent Calibre Online has a whole lot of work on presentations. I think we just had a little bit of talk about that earlier, but a whole lot of features, presenting in window for the people with big screens sitting at home, isolated, wanting to see more on their screen. A beautiful presenter console then, showing your speaker notes and what's next and what's going on. Presenting in window there, you know, for useful 3D transitions. I think we just saw WebGL goodness, making everything pretty and, you know, blingy and gorgeous in all sorts of ways, I suppose, if you like that sort of thing. And hopefully that's all extremely useful for selling somethings. So what else? Oh, yes, making everything align nicely, snap to align, so better alignment bars and so on, and making presentations easier to make them look pretty. Custom object interactions, so, you know, you can put little widgets in here. You can make a wiki inside a presentation, it turns out, if you really try hard, you know. Maybe we should do a wiki to presentation export. Anyway, so you can have all of this, you know, things. You click on it and it goes to the next page. Hyperlinks made with overly complicated objects. Anyway, people like this for some reason. And I guess in a training session, it's nice to have like one presentation, and then you can have a, it's like those stories, you know, go roll the dice and go to page 7 or something if it's that, you know, you can read your own presentation in different ways. So some cool things there. Lots of optimizations. I think Quaylon talked about some of those. Security-wise, we've helped our challenged administrators who are overly harassed and busy, and you know, they can see now the list of things that may or may not be right with their server, and get it right more quickly with links to the SDK. Reduced privileges or reduced need for privileges in our containers. So we contain each document in its own container, and we have needed special privileges to do that previously, sort of Capsys admin. And now we're using Linux namespaces, which in theory makes everything great, except everyone then disables it again with AppArmor. And, you know, as soon as you add a nice feature that helps us make people secure, it's immediately disabled as a security risk. So there you go. What can you do? And, you know, lots of improvements in interoperability. PDF 2.0 is just coming out. Lots of nice new things there. New font embedding. So Google's been doing a great job of making interoperable fonts, which are metrically the same, although visually different. And lots of other nice things, some from Allotropia, you know, X lookups and match things, all sorts of stuff are shipping there with new functions. There are loads of cool kids doing this, so thank you so much for all of the volunteers jumping in and doing great things. and particularly our translators. And I think that is my time. So thank you. Please do get involved. And there's some links.